Grab your Bibles, open up to Psalms chapter 1. We're going to continue there from last week. And as you just sung, count your many blessings. Often if we were to, and we do it on Sunday, Sunday schools, we share blessings, what God's doing in our life at that time. Often our blessings that we refer to, the blessings that sometimes we pray for, the blessings that we seek after and we desire, are very, very shallow. When we stop and think about things of God, often our cries are for very shallow things, such as jobs, comforts, healings. And I said, it's shallow, yeah. Compared to what God has for you, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Remember, I saw an interview on ESPN. I'm really shocked that I watch ESPN. Best channel on TV. I think there's another one somewhere. Another channel called Fox News. That's it. And but Shaquille O'Neal was sharing. Now, if you don't know Shaquille O'Neal, he's this little guy. About that wide. Big basketball player. One of the greats. In other words, he's stinking rich. When it's time, he went out to eat. And a waiter came around and he asked, how much you want for a tip? He said, I'd like to test them, see what they're going to do. So he asked the guy, so how much of a tip? Now put yourself on the spot. I asked too much and I'm a jerk because they're not going to do it. I asked too little, I'm an idiot. The guy asked for $4,000. Jack said, no problem. I'm sure that guy's like, dude, I could have asked for bigger. Should have said 10. But sometimes that's our request to God, and what our desire from God is very shallow. Lord, make me rich. Heal my sickness. But God has such bigger things. You see, sometimes all we're asking for is the same type of blessings that God even pours out on the unbeliever. We talked last week about the unbeliever also receives the rain from God, the sun from God. He receives the blessings from God too, because our God is so good that he can't help but pour out blessings even on the unbeliever. But the believer, God has deeper blessings. You know, we saw last week that God has blessings for those who don't pursue him, who don't seek counsel or approval or become comfortable with the ungodly ways. He's speaking of his greater blessings. Those that don't pursue the worldly ways, the ungodly ways. The ungodly ways, you might say, but they're not bad ways. Women. But if they're not God's way, they're not the best way. If they're not God's way, it's not honoring to God. We also saw last week that when we get involved in sin, it drags us further and further and further. You know that it's been said many times. You give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile. You give him a foothold, he'll become king. You know, he will. When you're involved in sin, it'll drag you further. Even in the first portion of today's chapter that we're talking about, if you listen to the ungodly, that's the unbelievers, those that don't know God, you'll start approving of the sinners, those that have sinful lifestyles, and you'll soon be associating with the scornful, those that participate in the mocking God, mocking the ways of God. You with me? It'll drag you slowly without you realizing it, because you give a little bit at a time. And we saw also last week who God really does deeply bless. Who receives those deep blessings? And those we're interested in, I want that deep blessing. How do I get it? Why, you compare them to a strong tree that is sitting by the water, by the river, absorbing nonstop, getting all he needs to grow and prosper. And he's speaking about God's word, because God's word can transform our lives. You with me? Yep. You have God's word in your hand, don't you?
Yep.
If you don't, let me know. I can find one for you. I've got Bibles that I'll give to you if you make a commitment to read it. study it, get to know God through His Word. But if you'll study God's Word and let it transform your life, He'll bring fruit in your life. You'll be beneficial to His kingdom. He's going to make sure that you prosper. He tells us that. Not my idea. He will make us prosper. Now today, as we continue through this big old chapter of, what is it, 6 verses? You know, we're going to see 2 different groups. 2 different results. You know, in today's politically correct world, we don't like to hear this. You know, often we hear that we're all the same. We're all children of God. We're all equal. Well, let me break your heart. God does not place us in the same group when we're not all children of God.
Amen.
We're all creation of God. Many have left Him, forsaken Him, playing sin. The only ones that are truly children of God are those that place their faith in Jesus Christ and have been adopted by the blood of Christ. You see, God separates believer from unbeliever throughout Scripture. We're not the same. He'll compare the sheep to the goat. They're separated. He says, some are lost and some are found. If you're in Christ, you've been found. He says, some live in the light and others in the dark. You're either alive in Christ or dead in sin. You're either righteous or unrighteous. And He even says, you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You see, we're not the same. And today we're going to speak of the differences. And those differences are major. And so in Psalms chapter 1, I didn't put it on the screen today because I forgot to. So if you'll follow with me as I read through, Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And here's what we'll pick up today. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we come to You and we thank You for loving us, for being right here with us. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, making the payment that we can be Your children, that You make us righteous if we place faith in You. The Lord, I ask that You have Your way as in this preaching today. That each one of our hearts is soft, that Your Spirit would do Your work, and that we would respond appropriately. We love You, Lord, and thank You for loving us the way You do. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the first thing we see here, it speaks of the ungodly. It says, the ungodly are not so. Last week we saw what the ungodly meant. It means they're not of God. Ungodly means not of God. So they're not like His tree that is planted by the water. We know in the New Testament, to be of God means that you place faith in Christ. That His shed blood offers forgiveness for sins. That when Christ died on a cross, shedding His blood, spilling His life out, that holy blood was shed for you, because death is only for those who have sinned. But even though He was sinless, He took on death upon Himself so He could give you the death He didn't deserve. And so by placing faith in Him, He gives forgiveness for sins. Not a simple forgiveness. A forgiveness that is a payment. He cannot just say, you're sinless, you're pardoned. No, He had to make a payment for sin, because the wages of sin is death. Death always has to follow sin. And so Jesus made that payment so that you wouldn't have to. We know in Revelation that payment actually is called the second death, where we're completely separated from God, cast into the lake of fire. It's a very serious term of being ungodly here. And the only one that he gives us forgiveness to, the only one that he saves from what we deserve, for those who trust in Jesus, that humble themselves to call upon him for salvation. No, so the ungodly are still separated from God. They're still in their sins. Are you with me? They're still condemned.
Right.
Jesus said, I came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. The problem is, there was the law before Jesus. The law came to condemn the world. We look at the law of God, we see that we're all sinners. We violated his holiness. You bear false witness because you lied. You dishonored your mom and dad. Don't you lie and say you didn't. Miss Riva, you might think, is a goody two shoe, but I know the rest of y'all. When we go through that, literally using the Lord's name in vain. What is that? Is it just cussing? I've never cussed. No, maybe it's singing a song about his name without thinking about where you're singing to. But not honoring him in your heart. You see, the law comes and condemns us very easily. But Jesus came that we might be saved.
Amen.
It is the ungodly are the ones that have not accepted Christ yet. They're separated from God. They're condemned. And they may be the people you and I call good people. Oh, they can't be called ungodly. That's a sweet grandma that makes cookies for everyone. You with me? We all have that grandma around town that everybody loves because she makes some good cookies. But you know what? That grandma needs Jesus too, don't she? She too is condemned by the law because it judges the heart. It might be that kid that shovels your snow for free. It might be the man that feeds the homeless on the street. It might be the person, that man that you know that's never cussed, drinks, or chews, or even dates the girls that do. But each one of them need Jesus, don't they? And if they never place their faith in Jesus Christ, Scripture calls them ungodly. They're still separated from God and condemned by the law. And Scripture says the ungodly are not so. He's differentiating the unsaved from the growing believer. He's differentiating the ungodly from that strong tree we talked about last week that is absorbing God's word and making it beneficial. See, if you're a believer, you should want to be this strong tree. You with me? You should desire that God can use you for his benefit, for his good. That God would use you to fulfill his purpose for you, to bring him honor, to make Jesus known. That should be you and I if you're a child of God. You should love God's word and be filling up with it like that strong tree does with the water. God's word should be giving ammunition to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you so that you are transformed. Why? So you become formed in his image, in which he originally created us, until we fell in sin. You see, the ungodly are not so. They don't possess the Holy Spirit. They may be entertained or have knowledge of God's word, but they do not love it and cannot be transformed by it without the salvation that brings the Holy Spirit of God. They're not planted firmly in truth. They're not spiritually growing. They're still dead in their sins and trespasses. They have no fruit in them because there's no Holy Spirit in them to give spiritual fruit. So we see the rest of verse 4 says what they are like. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now is that chaff or chaff? Chaff. I knew I was saying the wrong one. I had two choices. But me in English didn't do good. I should have said some other language and pretended I was translating. And see, the ungodly are compared to the waste part of the plants. You don't do much with the chaff. Catch that? I did good. Teacher. Looking around, where's my teachers? I'm proud of myself. See, it's a part of the plant that when harvested is thrown away, it's cast into the wind. It was an unwanted part of the grain at that time. It has no root to stay alive, no moisture. It was dry and hardens. There's no fruit, no benefit from this. It seems very rude and hateful to call anyone this, but God is making a point. You with me? The unbeliever is not fulfilling his God-given purpose. The unbeliever does not walk by faith and in obedience to God's word. He doesn't reflect Jesus Christ. He's not conformed to the image of Christ, so therefore he does not fulfill his purpose. He's not beneficial to God's kingdom in growing those people that follow Christ. So in that day, the grain was thrown into the air, separating the chaff that would be taken by the wind. That worthless part would fly off. And the fruit, the beneficial part, would fall either to the ground or be collected in their baskets. And one day, God's going to separate the ungodly chaff from the righteous. In the same way that the chaff is blown away from the grain, the righteous will be blown away from God's people. Did you catch that? We might have a room full today, and tomorrow when we're in face Christ, not all of us will be there. There's some that are in this room that's never placed faith in Jesus Christ and called upon his name. Christ will separate from who truly is his. So I shout out from mountaintops today, place faith in Jesus Christ, call on his name, be saved, so that you are a child of God, that you are not the chaff, you're not the wasted part. Because I want you to be with me. I want every one of us to be together as we see Jesus face to face one day, so that together we can bow at his throne and sing to him praises. Won't that be awesome? The more I read through and study through the book of Revelation, teaching on Wednesday nights, the more excited I get about the time that we'll be kneeling before the throne, singing to him. And I sure hope you're there with me. I sure hope you're ready for that day. Because in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's going to be a day. Remember, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the what? Everybody will face Christ one day. And some are going to come to Christ and they're going to lean on their goodness. But God, I help the poor. God, I taught Sunday school. God, I went to church every Sunday. Lord, I even went to church on Wednesday nights. If that's what they lean on for their salvation, God's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. The scariest words God can ever say to anyone is, depart from me. The most comforting words when Christ said, come unto me, all ye. He calls us to himself. And yet if we never obey that, he will say, depart from me, because you never came to me. I never knew you. Because the only way to be in God's presence is by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's by placing faith in Jesus and his holy blood. Anybody with me? I'm putting anybody to sleep yet, am I? It's getting hot in here, I think. Anybody else warm? Oh, we got a couple of amens out there, Miss Linda. Let me see. Miss Linda didn't mess with us today, did she?
I have been known to do that.
Oh, I know. That's why we pray more often. I go over here during prayer. We know how to touch this thing when she ain't looking, amen? So, understand this, the only way to be a beneficial, fruitful part for the Lord is by placing faith in Jesus Christ. Let his word transform us. His spirit guide us. And man, he's got greater blessings for you. Verse 5 starts out with the big word. What's that first word? Therefore, now that we know everything he said, we can see why it's therefore. Why the rest of this has a point. All that has been mentioned is going to set up the big conclusion. And here we're going to see the value of being righteous. The value of what was mentioned in verse 1. The value of not walking with the ungodly and not standing with the sinners or sitting in the scornful. Why a godly life is awesome. He says in verse 5, look at there. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That's not saying, listen, they're not going to face judgment. They're not going to have anything to stand on. There's nothing to back them up. They're going to have no answers. Nothing to use as a plea. And here's the reason. They will have no advocate with the Father. They will have no advocate with the judge. They will have no one to stand for them. Who is this advocate? Well, 1 John 2:1 tells us, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. He's speaking to believers in 1 John. He says, listen, if you fall in sin, Jesus is standing for you. His blood's already paid your sin for you. But if you don't place faith in Jesus, guess what? You've never brought him on as your advocate. And you will have no one to stand and plead before the Father for you. The only advocate that can stand before the Father is Jesus Christ. And the unsaved have rejected him. They have trusted the only one, or have not trusted the only one that can save them. And they will not survive judgment because they're still in their sins. And they're guilty. You with me? They're guilty before a holy God. Isn't it awesome if you are a believer to say, I'm not guilty anymore? Not because I did anything to fix it, but because Jesus wiped them away. Then he said, I put them so far from me, I'll never remember them. I won't hold them against you. Verse 5 continues here. Second half, it says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Sinners are not going to be counted as part of the righteous, as the group and assembly of the righteous. They're not going to be accepted by God. They were not made worthy by the blood of Jesus. Understand, you and I are sinners. Remember, anything we do is nothing more than what? Dirty rags. Filthy, nasty, bloody rags. That's what our good works are compared to the sin, the salvation we need. But Jesus Christ had holy, pure blood that was shed on the cross because of his love. And he can wash away your sins. You with me? He can wash away your sins, making you righteous, making you holy, making you justified. And otherwise, guiltless, blameless. Remember, Jesus said that he put upon us his righteousness, and he took upon himself our sinfulness, and he carried it to the cross. Not a pretty one like this. An old, rugged, splintery chunk of wood. And he did it for you. But you must accept that payment. And everybody has had the choice to accept. And many have rejected him. The offer has been made. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Remind you that. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The offer of salvation has been made. It's been before you. But the desire to live in sin may have been too strong. You with me? Maybe your desire for sin was bigger than your desire to be clean, to be pure before a holy God. The unbeliever, the unsaved, the ungodly, as Scripture calls them, had their chance, but have rejected the God, rejected the holiness. God cannot accept him because he is holy, he is righteous, and he is just. And yes, he is love. That's why he sent the payment for us. And the second thing I see in this passage is where he says, fear not. If you're a child of God, fear not. God knows what he's doing. I know a lot of times we panic and we question God, why? But the moment we dig into God's word, we know that he is in control. He has a purpose for all things. A couple weeks ago we talked about that. That all things work together for good. For who? Those who love God and are what? Called according to his purpose. God works in all that. Might not be what he wanted, but he'll use it for his glory. You know, so we don't have to fear. God's going to separate everything correctly. He's not going to forget you if you're a child of God. He's not going to get it wrong. God's not going to have to go off your words and ask for an explanation when you get to heaven. Hey, I don't know about you. Tell me why I should let you in. No. No. He knows your heart. Verse 6 is, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. How does God recognize his own? You thought about that? Is he going to forgive me? My dad was so absent from our house growing up as a kid, I remember wondering if he'd recognize me when I was walking down the street. I'd go downtown and wondering if I walked into him downtown in Canoas in Brazil, if he would recognize me. He was absent from us. So as a child, I wasn't sure if my dad even knew me. Guess what? Our Father knows us. Amen. Our Father God knows exactly who I am. Why? Because I'm covered by the holy blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Some ways that God recognizes his children is the righteous walk the straight and narrow. What? Well, Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be with which go in. Man, this is a tough one. And many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Understand, Jesus is the straight way, but there's also a wide way. Now, we like to paint that wide way as partying, as booze, as sex, all sinfulness. No, that's not what the wide way is. The wide way is false religion, false teaching. Heresy. False ways of thinking that you are righteous. That your good works matter for salvation. Now, good works matter, but not unto salvation. And the narrow way, there's only one way into heaven. That's who? Jesus Christ. He is the straight and narrow. So when I say that he recognizes his children, because they walk the straight and narrow, is because they are walking with Jesus Christ. If you place faith in him, you should be growing in his word, walking in obedience and faith, walking hand in hand with Jesus. But he also recognizes his, because the righteous are covered by the holy blood of his Son Jesus. In Revelation 5:9, and I told you in Revelation, I'm loving teaching through it, even though it's been one of the hardest studying that I have to do. And while Jesus was being worshipped in Revelation 5:9 by those in heaven, the elders, the beasts, they cried out, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Isn't that awesome? Listen to that worship again. Thou was slain, killed. You gave up your life for us. And hast redeemed us. You bought us. You purchased us. You with me? He paid the highest price possible for us. Has redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Walk and wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, the righteous also are obedient to him. They walk the straight and the narrow, they're covered by the blood of Jesus, but they also, the righteous, are obedient to him. In John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember, the first law, the most important thing of everything, the law in Scripture, the love of the Lord thy God. Amen? That's what Jesus said when they tried to trap him. Believer, faith goes beyond the prayer of salvation. It's a life of obedience. You must love God and obey Him from the love, not from religion. And they have a relationship with Him because of their love for Him. Our love for God only exists because He first loved us, though, right? You'd never love God if He didn't demonstrate His love for you first. Because He came to man. He prophesied to man. He taught man. Then He literally put on clothes. He put on His physical flesh. And He came to earth for 33 years and lived a miserable, tough, persecuted life. And then He laid down His life on the cross for us. See, God recognizes those who are truly His. You with me? And they're going to be deeply blessed. But He also recognizes those who rejected His Son. You with me? Now, if you're a child of God, He's going to recognize you. He's not going to forget you. You with me? I'll go to sleep now. I'm getting good stuff. Almost done. But He ain't going to forget you. He's going to recognize you. He knows your face. He knows your heart. He knows how many hairs are on your head. I'm not even going to make a joke about that. He knows every detail of your life. He loves you deeply. He's not going to forget you. But He also recognizes those who reject His Son. Look at verse 6. In the second half it says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Remember, the ungodly are not determined by our idea of godliness. It's not determined by us thinking they're a good person or they've done good things. It's determined by God. It's determined by what He has called them to. God will not be convinced to the contrary. He sent His Son, Jesus, to make payments and the requirement is faith. Followed by repentance. There must be a time they call out for salvation and be born again. You with me? They will recognize them. And listen to this. A harsh, harsh point in Scripture is Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those that are still stuck in their sins, understand, he just generalized the list of sins here. Sins that we are all guilty of, but if you're called the name of Jesus, you've been justified, you've been washed of them. But if you've not placed faith in Jesus, you're still guilty of sins. You with me? You're still guilty of sinfulness. And God says you'll suffer a second death. In other words, it's just going to get worse. He's going to cast you into the lake of fire for all eternity. It says it never ends. And this is God's wrath. This is the opposite of the deep blessings that He wants for you. But this is also what you've chosen if you're still an unbeliever. You with me? I plead with you, I've never placed faith in Jesus Christ. This is the day of salvation. This is the day to call upon Him. Believer, if you have much to rejoice about, if you want to rejoice in deep blessings, if you want to appreciate who God is and what He's done, grow in God's Word. Submit to it, be obedient to it, and He's going to bless you in bigger ways than you can ever think to ask for. And I'm not talking about a bunch of money. I'm not talking about a bunch of cars. I'm not talking about a big old house. I'm talking about blessings that only He can give, the joy,
amen,
the peace, the eternal life. But if you have never placed faith in Him, you never called the name of Jesus for salvation, you're still good news. You're still breathing. You you still have the opportunity to recognize your sinfulness before a holy God. Because understand, if you reject him, there will come a day it's too late. Because in Hebrews 9:27, it says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. When your physical life on earth is done, your opportunity to call on Jesus for salvation has ended. As of right now, you still have the opportunity to be saved. You still have the opportunity to call a child of God. Behold, a manner of love the Father has given to us that we shall be called the children of God. 1 John 3:1 is such an exciting verse. Because I have the privilege to be called the Son of God. Not because of my awesomeness, because I'm still lacking. Not because of my goodness, because I've got more failures than I do goodness. Not because of my works, because again, I've got more bad than I do good. But because I trusted in the work of Jesus Christ, I'm a child of God. And I'll tell you, since that day that I come to know Jesus, I can count blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Has it ever been hard times? Oh, there's been a lot of hard times. Need to put a lot of hard times in my life, but the blessings from God have never been taken away. Because even in the midst of sorrow, we can have joy in the Lord. Would you stand with me? We're going to have a short invitation today. Piano's going to play. It gives us an opportunity to just pray. An opportunity to respond to our God as he has maybe brought conviction on hearts. Maybe some of you realize, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I've never called on him for salvation. The question is, how will you respond? Believer, maybe even after salvation and you were growing with him, something got your attention. And you started taking counsel with the ungodly. And because of that, you started inching closer to the sinful lifestyle. You may even be all the way over in your scorners that you make fun of those people that spend too much time in church, that are too serious about Jesus. You need to repent. You need to fall to your knees and say, God, make me one of those Bible thumpers. Lord, I love you. Maybe you're in here and you say, I don't remember ever having a time that I called on Jesus for salvation. I'll tell you this, if you've not had that time, you better hurry up. Because you don't know when the last day you have an opportunity to be saved is. And God calls you to faith in Jesus Christ. And I would love to show you, not from my knowledge, but from God's word, how you can be saved. The thing is, you can't be shy about it. You find me, I don't care if it's during invitation, after church, I'd love to show you how you can be saved. How you two can celebrate, I'm a child of God. The question now is, how will you respond when the Holy Spirit has touched your heart? Will you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord? No invitation, people are looking. So what is between you and God? It's much bigger than what someone else thinks about. Will you humble yourself? Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. Thank you for your word and your love. And that even when we fall, Jesus is our advocate. That he has paid our past sins, our current sins, and our future sins. If we have called upon his name. Lord, there is someone in here that is your child and is still meddling in sin. Lord, I ask you to bring a conviction. They can turn that over to you. Seek for accountability. Have a desire, a deeper desire for your word. If there's someone in this room that's never called upon your name for salvation, that this can be the day that they simply ask, how can I be saved? Knowing this whole church will rejoice with you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. I ask that you have your way in this time of invitation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just ask you, please step out of your comfort zone. We get out of your seats. Come take a knee at the altar. Just you and God, a time of prayer. Maybe Maybe you turn over to him. Areas in your life you need to don't honor and don't fulfill his purpose for you. Maybe you need to step out and say, Pastor, can you show me how to be saved? It's very simple. God has already done the work by placing himself on the cross as Jesus. Dad here, maybe you fall down, Lord, how am I leading my kids? Husbands, how am I loving my wife? Is your membership or your part of the church, how am I benefiting?